Speak this morning to us. Give us a word that abides and brings forth fruit. Praise the Lord. Let me just point to this little sign up here. Please switch off your mobiles, your cell phones. It disturbs the transmission. So please switch it off. I'm glad to be here. And I think it is good if we are aware of how precious this time is. The Lord called together the young people from so many churches all over Europe and the U.S., amen. He wants to speak for what's going on. And America said, the Lord wants to come back. And this is quite possible that we are the last generation. And this is so precious how the Lord speaks to us here. Right? All this story here of creation, many people have read. So few only have seen what the Lord wants to describe, show here. Praise the Lord. We are allowed to see so many things here. It is so precious. We do not want to have biology lessons here, but we learn so much from the pictures we see here that are spiritual reality. Last night I was impressed and touched by the message last night on the moon and the sun. That is so important that the Lord today, at the end of time, has such a shining testimony. And this is the foundation for higher life. We do see life is possible before that, as soon as you have light, which is experience of many believers. They somehow get hold of the Bible and they receive life and they receive light and experience growth. But for the higher stage of life, you need the sun and the moon. And this is my experience as well. Without the church life, without the students' meetings, without the fellowship with the saints, life surely would not have grown that quickly. It's really, praise the Lord for that. On the fourth day, the moon and the sun came into existence. And then higher life was created. It was touched. I was touched this morning. The fish doesn't need much strength in order to withstand the salt waters. This is in his nature. It is so good to have such a nature. We are now have reached the sixth day, which is the last day of creation. And there is still a higher stage of life. Even biologically, if you consider it, you had the testimony on the grass, the herbs, and the trees, how complicated it is from a biological sense. This life on the last day is so complicated. A single organ has so many layers of cells and types of cells, and it is so much more than just grass. The point here, we talked about three kinds of life, which is cattle, then the creeping things, and the lions, the animals of the field. Yeah. Cattle is something useful to man. Since man lives on the earth, he took cattle for his food, for his work support. It gives milk, supplies food and provision. Gives butter and milk and the meat and the wool, everything for man's supply. It shows this life is not only meant for itself, but it serves. That's right, it serves the others. It is good to have the life of a fish, to be against the world, to resist the world. Or, as we heard, a bird, if there is a problem, it flies away. But very practically, there are problems in our daily living where we live, at home, with our brothers and sisters, or our parents, sister's house, or brother's house, or in marriage life. Maybe then it's not so good to fly away like a bird. You need to experience higher life. You have to pass on milk and the strength that solves the problem. This is the life of the cattle. It is there to serve and to pass on food. One point that became important to me was, in order to reach the stage of life, this will not happen automatically. It needs our cooperation. And the important, most important point in this is the food, the aspect of the food, of eating. If the cow doesn't eat grass, it will not produce milk. So this is the point for me to learn, how do I properly eat cattle in the Bible, in the Old Testament especially. It's the pure animals. They're characterized by masticating, chewing the things over and over. It's the animals of the fifth day. It's a higher level of eating. I don't know, when I moved in the house I moved in, there are fish in a basin, and if they are fed by the brothers, they just swallow the food. I never saw them chewing it. No fish chews. The fish just swallow. Large fish, they are then filled with the food. They take 2 to 3 days or even a week and not eat anymore, because it was enough. My experience also sometimes is like this. I swallow, go to the meetings and swallow, whoops, and it keeps me alive. But in order to serve, I have to learn to take in food regularly every day. It is not sufficient just to swallow something. Maybe for me it would suffice to survive. But if I want to serve others and pass on food to others, I will have to learn to properly eat. There was this students' conference, high schoolers' conference, where we had a good illustration. Let me repeat that. I brought it here with me from the breakfast table. What is it? Oh, it's a roll, a bagel. It's quite clear to us. But let me create more of awareness. Let me ask Philip here to help illustrate. Okay, this is a piece of breakfast. This is a little piece of breakfast. And you now consider him. How you eat. Just watch him carefully. How do you eat? Oh, just simply bite. Take a bite into it and then... Oh, it's very dry. What? It was cut. Okay. Once again, just to keep up the awareness. Let me write it down. What did you do? You just saw? Okay, thanks. We just want to write down. What did he do? What was the first point? Well, with the eating. What? First he took it into his hands. Yeah, first. Take it into your hand. Strange pencil. Take it into your hand. First item. Then second point is what? Open up your mouth. Yeah, okay. But what else? to bring it up to your mouth. Bring it to the mouth. Lead the hand to the mouth. Then third point was open the mouth. Mouth open. Bite. And then put the bread in and bite. Take a bite. Okay, fill the mouth, he says. Then fill the mouth. And the fifth is chew. Chew it. And lastly, swallow. Well, it's a very simple example from the high schoolers' conference, but it opened the eyes to me how important it is. Maybe, would you still mind coming again? Shortly. He was drinking something. Once again, take another large, big bite. Now, swallow it. Swallow. Without chewing? No way. Not possible. It doesn't work. We don't have a fish nature. We do have to chew. And that is good. A fish may simply swallow and live by it. But if you want to receive the energy from it, a cow, do you know how many times she is chewing? It is chewing on the grass in order to unveil the disclose, have these items of the grass, the vitamins, the minerals. This is the way how I deal with the word. If I just read over it quickly and swallow, it will nourish me somehow as well. But it is much better to eat the word and chew it and receive the strength, get the strength out of it. The ones that are here for the first time wonder why do the saints repeat the verses always again and again and pray over it. It really means to take the word into your hand. You first need the Bible in your hand. Jeremiah says, your word has become my food as often as I received it. Or other translations say, if I found the word of you, I ate it. So you need to fill your mouth with this word. And it's good chewing it. Chew it. Whenever there is a verse, do not just simply read it once over, but chew it. Take one sentence. And some think it is a kind of a method. Well, but it gives life. From the method of learning things, didactically, you repeat things, and the more you repeat it, the easier it divides in your mind. When I was learning and studying for my exams, I repeated these the issues I had to learn, and I kept it in my mind and learned it by heart. But the Word of God, more than that, has a taste. What I read from my university, I didn't receive any taste. But here, there is a taste in it and life. And it's really so. I want to encourage everyone, even when you're alone, read the Word, pray with it, and repeat it more often. Chew it. Small portions, not swallow the whole thing at once. So this is a prerequisite for higher life. To supply, you need to chew. And this is a good, have the desire, Lord, I want this, to have this life that serves. We have read this verse from Malachi 3:18, that there is a difference between believers and unbelievers, right? Today you hardly see it, but at the end you will see what a big difference it is. And then within the believers, there is also a difference between those that serve God and those that do not serve God. Maybe today you will not see a big difference, but one day there will be a big difference. And the Lord Himself, He said, He needs workers. This is a higher life. First of all, it needs me to survive in my classroom, in my school, in my studies. Wherever I am, I want to stay with the faith. But on the sixth day, it is about, the Lord said, the fields have become white, ripe, but workers are few only. Right at the time when now, when the Lord wants to come back, in many places, we not only need young people to survive, but we need workers. God needs workers. People that are able to carry, to pass on food. And this depends on how we eat. To have the desire, I want to be someone serving you, helping, supplying, providing. The Lord was asking Peter three times, do you love me? Then shepherd my sheep. It starts small. But then again, Peter, do you love me? And please shepherd my sheep. And the third time, Peter, do you love me? Shepherd my sheep, or feed my sheep. This is such a life, not only caring for itself, but caring for the body, which is the church. One point I would like to make here. Praise the Lord for the moon. Praise the Lord for the house of God. A place where you can really consecrate yourself. Because this is what is on God's heart. Everything you give to the Lord is worth it. At our place, at the university, there are a lot of student missions. And they preach the gospel, which is not bad. But with many of them I had talked and say, yeah, I somehow belong to this group, but it's not completely mine, my issue. But they, in a certain sense, they give themselves for the gospel preaching. But when you see, if you see you are in the house of God, you can give yourself 100% to Him and give everything to a certain mission campaign, or mission work. You could give something, but no one is ready to invest 100% everything into it, because they know it's just a way of work here and another work is over there. But if you see it is about the house of the living God, which is the church, you will see every drop of my blood I can invest into it, and is not a waste. I only gain everything. This is so good. As these animals carrying the burden, we can give ourselves in the house of God. Carrying burdens. The yoke of the Lord is light, is easy, and His burden is light. We exchange the yokes. We take away our yoke, and we receive His yoke. That's what oxen are made for. Right? Lord Jesus. So good to go on with the Lord, move on with the Lord. And another point to this.
Hey Tim,
what we do here on the sixth day with respect to serving means there will be a reward also. It is something having to do with the kingdom. We serve the kingdom. And it's so good to see. When I dispense, when I supply, I receive a reward. Oh Lord Jesus. I not only work because I want a reward. This is an incentive, but I know the Father shall be glad. Marcus was sharing and was talking about his parents, and he enjoyed at home. But all of a sudden his heart later also said, I want to help my parents. So when our father wants to build a house, then I will not only join because I know everything I will inherit one day, this will be my inheritance, but because also I want to please my father, make him happy. And if he sees how we cooperate with him, this makes his heart rejoice. Praise the Lord. Another point I would like to mention, which are the sacrificial animals for sacrifice. The Lord gave us our body as a living sacrifice. He is a true sacrifice. That is an important point. But as you read in the outline, maybe, and in the coming meetings, we will go into more detail. We will now only skip over and come to the capital B, the creeping things. It's quite interesting that there are creeping things that were created on the sixth day. Well, I would have put it maybe in between before the fish in creation. But here you can see this is something not being reached, attained to easily. There are different aspects. And one aspect of the creeping things is it is low. They're low animals. Low, down below on the ground. Creeping things. Maybe we could read Philippians chapter 2, 7 to 8. Philippians 2, verses 7 to 8. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
The Lord himself humbled himself. That's what, and in this way we should follow him. In the outline in the German, it's a little mistake here. It's Psalm 22, verse 7. In English, it's correct. It's verse 6. It says, I am like a worm, not a man, and to be mocked at by the people and despised. This simply shows the Lord is King of Kings, but still he has lowered himself so much. He received the nature of man. Although having no sin, he came as man to earth. And this picture of the iron, the brass serpent, means the Lord lowered himself from his glory to become a man. And he was even mocked, despised by the people, ridiculed. And to reach this nature is not very easy. To reach this stage of life, you need the food of the Lord. Lord Jesus. The Lord lowered himself, humbled himself. This point says we have been crucified with Christ. We should also have lived such a life. Don't expect any recognition. Serve rather as an unprofitable servant. This is a word very healthy, but not very easy to take. When I read this verse before, formerly, Luke 17, about these unprofitable slaves, I didn't like to hear it. Oh, useless, futile, useless slave, unprofitable slave. I prefer to think I'm a royal child, I'm a kingly child, son of king. It's both is true. this humiliation. In the last years in the churches, here and there, there were trouble, large, great trouble. And usually it was not something coming from outside, someone religious attacking us in an evil way. But no, it was from inside, someone becoming proud or being hurt, offended, and did not deal with itself. Many problems were really because of our self. Someone was not ready to be humiliated, to humble himself. This applies to every one of us. When we serve and start to serve in the house of the Lord, this nature of the warm, of the creeping things I have to experience. Maybe I'm assigned a certain service, I arrange the rooms in the conference, or I do the music service, and someone else comes and changes over everything again. And then I think, well, that's not possible. He is ruining my authority. I did everything so well. And then all of a sudden another brother comes and they think they are better. No way, not possible. So quickly these thoughts come up in our heart. And they destroy the church life. What we do, what we serve, we have to be aware. We do it to the Lord. And everything happens thereafter, we don't care. If I do something to the Lord, I do it to Him alone. And I receive a reward. If someone else wipes it out or changes it over again, destroys it, I say Amen. Right, this is an important principle. We are simply unprofitable slaves, servants. This example in Luke 17 says, we did what we simply owed to do. Our duty was our duty to do. Nothing else. In the companies, if you work on a job and it's a project you work on and later everything is thrown over, it doesn't count, it's really annoying and nuisance. But with the Lord, there will be a reward from Him. You can say, Lord, I did what was my duty to do. I am vain. My opinion does not count. And I was hurt and offended. I bring it to the Lord, not to man. Lord Jesus. The Lord has chosen the low, the humble. This is point C. Being faithful in little matters. Small C. Being faithful in little matters. Sometimes you have an experience, you have to lower and humble yourself. But sometimes you think, I am so humble and low. Maybe I'm in the church life such a long time and someone comes who's quite new and he shares and speaks so boldly and maybe it seems to know, can do so much, you think, oh, I can do nothing. Oh, I'm so low, so small, so little. But it's good to be faithful in the little. What the Lord has given you, be faithful in that. Just as this poor widow. The poor widow only had 2 copper coins, but she was faithful in it. And the Lord, did you know what the Lord says? He has a different measure. Some others threw a lot more money into the box, to the offering box. But the Lord asked his disciples, did you see what she threw in? She threw in much more than anybody else. And we think, oh, this million coins of the other one is so much. But the Lord is measuring differently. I would like to encourage you, don't reckon, count it for little what you have, but you should be rather faithful in what you have. What you have, bring it to the Lord. Even in the meetings. Maybe just one verse. But be faithful. Amen. Lord Jesus. us. And we could read so the verses from 1 Peter 5. First Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Thank you, Lord. God gives grace to the humble. There are many proverbs, many verses in Proverbs that show how precious humility is. And the reward of humility is great, that lot of promises, life. But here it emphasizes grace. He gives grace to the humble. And it's easy to be humble, to cast all your anxieties to the Lord. This is to be humble. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe let's quickly go on to verse 8 and 9. The same chapter. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We jump now from the creeping things to the lion, capital C. On the sixth day, there's also the wild beasts. Surely there are many aspects in that. There are so many animals, wild animals. It's tremendous. So this morning we only picked this one point, which is the king of the animals, of the beasts. King of the beasts, king of the animals, is the lion, everybody knows. The lion stands for kingship, but also for warfare, the battle, the fight. Revelation, it is written in Revelation 5, it's the lion of the tribe of Judah. Don't weep, it has overcome the lion of the tribe of Judah, which is the Lord who was victorious, a lamb. And I think we need this consciousness, this awareness, that there is an enemy. There is a battle. A fish will also realize around him is a world. But on the sixth day, you have animals able to fight a battle. They're aware, they're conscious of this universal battle in this universe. And this awareness, this consciousness has to do with your growth, right? You realize around you, maybe you don't see it physically, but there is a spiritual battle. And Lord Jesus, it is good to see that the enemy here is roaring like a lion, but he is not a lion. This morning we had fellowship. A battle in this area is over quickly, because at least one is running away. One of the two is escaping. James says, resist the devil, so he shall flee from you. But on the other hand, there is a roaring, and then we try to escape, and the enemy devours us. It has to do with the fact whether I stand, withstand, or run away. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, of fear, but of strength, power. Sometimes you think, oh, this situation is not for the gospel. The enemy sends something intimidating you, and you think, oh, the people are against me. How many times that we experience this when we arrange for a lecture by the brothers? All of a sudden the lion roars. But you have to withstand. To stand firm. The true lion is in us. It's not our life, but it's the Lord in us. And I would briefly like to mention this again. The enemy was Satan was the first, highest, topmost angel. And he received the title Prince of this world. Jesus himself gives this title to him. He has nothing in me. The prince of this world has nothing in me. Just for our consciousness, to know it, awareness. The enemy, the Satan, once had dominion over all the earth, over the world. But he sinned and fell and rebelled. And God took away the dominion from him. He is seeking a new ruler, which is supposed to be man. Man is meant to rule over the earth. What do you think Satan is saying to that? Man is meant to replace him, substitute him in his dominion. Maybe now you can understand it a little better why the devil came to kill and to perish, to corrupt, to destroy. He does not want man to replace him. That's why you see in the second and third chapter there is enmity between man and the serpent. There is enmity between his descendants. There is no peace here. Never. There is enmity. The Lord wants our good, but the enemy never wants your good, even if he offers good, nice things to you. I would like to still make this point here. If you experience how the enemy comes like a lion roaring, and you know the Lord is within you, stronger, and the prayer works, and you stand firmly and do not shrink back, the enemy will have to flee. So the lion strategy is working with young people. But the enemy has another strategy. Coming as a serpent, it is not roaring like a lion, but it's sneaking in and you don't realize. And it's ensnaring you, entangling you with sin and different things. And the serpent comes at night. It's active in the night. And you don't hear it and you don't see it. And that works much better than roaring. Because you are switched off without noticing it. You're paralyzed without knowing it. The enemy tries to ensnare you, entangle you, and you have to resist it. On this high schoolers conference last week, we had this word of food giving us strength. Makes us strong to serve. But food makes you also strong to resist. If you don't have strength, you cannot fight the battle. So warfare shall be won by your strength. If you try to conquer a castle, they surrounded it, and if they didn't, in the castle, they did not have any food anymore, they lost, and they conquered the castle. So without food, you lose the battle. And also the modern warfare today mainly will be decided by supply. Cut off the supply of the enemy. Be quicker with supply of ammunition, whatever. Let's be watchful to have enough supply of food prepared by us to be strong in order to fight. We should take care of that. The enemy so many times takes away my food supply, the time I want to use in the Word. Because he knows without food supply I do not have strength. He's very victorious in that. Now we have to say, to change situation, we have to destroy the supply of the enemy, cut it off, bomb it away, erase it. Truly so. Throw bombs on him. The things give room to the flesh. It is good to cut it off, do it away with. Destroy. Lord Jesus. Within us there is a battle many times described in the Bible. The spirit fights against this, the flesh, and the flesh fights against the spirit. When I was in school, in high school, I was busy with many things that are somehow a supply for the flesh. Replenishment. And for the soul sometimes. And I realized whenever I did this, short after, I fall. See? When I do this, I no longer have any joy in the Word. These things, it's good to cut off the supply for the enemy, to cut off the, stop the flesh. The Lord in many respects is quite harsh, quite hard, quite strong and strict. If your eye causes problem to you, tear it out. If your hand seduces you, cut it off. Why does the Lord say it so strongly? Because there are things where the enemy has his supply and weakens you. It's a strong word, but very encouraging to see. There are things you can simply throw it out. I heard many times from saints in the church or new ones that came, and with anyone, everyone, it may be something different. Maybe someone doesn't have any problems with music, but for someone else, it's a burden to him. It oppresses him. It takes away your soul so much, it becomes a problem to him. I heard of some who took all their CDs and threw them away to the trash. We have to check that before the Lord. There's no law or rule to do it. No, but if you think and realize it's a supply for the enemy, you better cut it off. Everyone knows himself what occupies his heart or her heart. That's why the Lord encourages. Sometimes it may hurt to cut off certain things and throw them away. But we want to be victorious. Praise the Lord. And lastly, the one who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We read this verse this morning already. 1 John 4:4. And I was touched so much to see. We all know the Lord is greater than the enemy. You're all aware of it. But you see, he who is in you is greater than the one that's in the world. To have this consciousness, this awareness. In me is living the, not the Jew, but the lion of the tribe of Judah. This is such an encouragement. Whatever comes, the Lord is greater. You shouldn't be afraid of the director of the school or the professor at university or your boss at work, no matter who. The things of this world, he who is in you is greater than the world. And this life has to be strengthened. then you will be in the victory. Praise the Lord.